The word today comes from the book of 2 Corinthians, the book of 2 Corinthians, and we're reading in chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation today, the New Living Translation, and we're going to find that Paul is in a position and he defends his authority. And that's okay, but in his authority, he gives us some instructions from the Lord. And the word reads, "Now I, Paul, appeal to you with gentleness and kindness of Christ. Though I realize you think I am timid in person and bold only when I write from far away. Well, I am begging you now so that when I come, I won't have to be bold with those who think we act from human motives. We are human. But we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. And after you have become fully obedient, we will punish everyone who remains disobedient." And the Lord just says to us today, he's given us instructions for our warfare, instructions for our warfare. And I just need to go back to last week. Last week, the Lord told us that we have everything we need, right? That's what the Lord said, right? That's not what I said. He said we have everything we need last week. And part of it is because of what? The spirit of faith. Oh, Sister Susie, tell your sister she's got everything she needs now. Mm-hmm. Even though she just confessed Christ, she has everything she needs. Why? Because of the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith gives you everything. When you got the spirit of faith in 2 Corinthians 4:13, you also know that you got the spirit of adoption. Romans 8:15, that we can call him Abba Father. That's part of, you've been adopted by the best, not the ones who might make it, but the best. And then because we're adopted, God gave us the spirit of wisdom. So we get the spirit of faith, the spirit of adoption, and the spirit of wisdom. And it talks about that in Ephesians 1:17. Then with that, hallelujah, that our sins be as scarlet, we get the spirit of grace, God's grace that it talks about in Hebrews 10 chapter verse 29. And because of that, then we got a spirit of glory. We get to bring God glory. There's a spirit of glory. So now that's what we know. So now that we have faith, we got all those other things. We're told some other things in the word of God. That's why you got to study to show yourself approved or working with, but not be ashamed that you can rightly divide what this word of God. You got to put some time in, and I'm going to show you how this is real. And the spirit of faith is in Psalms, and the spirit of adoption in Psalm 34, and the spirit of wisdom in Proverbs 3:5. Trust what? Not to your own understanding, right? But trust God, and spirit of grace in Isaiah. They that wait upon the Lord, what? Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings of an eagle. And then the spirit of glory, when we understand when we go into battle, we've got all the weapons that we need. But we can have everything and all the weapons and the truth and righteousness and gospel and faith and salvation. We got the weapons, but we got to follow instructions. Too often we go out, and we have weapons, and that's a good thing, but we don't follow the instructions. And Paul said, I need you to understand today that I'm giving you some instructions. There are those Corinthian church, there are those destiny, there are those friends of destiny that what? We get some instructions, but the world tell us we're getting it wrong, or the world tell us that there's a little bit more to it, but it's trying to create confusion. But let me tell you what happens when you come into the Lord's army. See, the Lord's army is above the world's army, but the processes are the same. Number one, they're both a volunteer army. We don't draft anybody anymore. Those days are gone. It's purely voluntary. You don't get into God's kingdom unless you willfully decide for yourself, I want in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. God said, choose me.
Yes.
He offers to extend this invitation, and we choose. The army today, what? You go sign up. You choose to enter man's army, okay? So guess what? We're still on one accord right there. Man's army is like God's army. You choose to get aboard. You choose. This is your choice. Now, what you're choosing, and this is where people don't like it, you choose to surrender.
All right.
Uh-oh. Oh, what do you mean I choose to surrender? I can still be me. No. Let me share man's army. When you sign up for the Air Force, Army, Marines, with Navy, or any branch, when you choose, you give up your rights. You have said, I voluntarily come here. Now you agree to do it like they say and no other way.
My God.
When they say get up at 6 o'clock, you get up at 6 o'clock. When they say get up at 4 o'clock, you get up at 4 o'clock. When they say left foot, you step left foot. When they say right foot, you step right foot. And everybody's on one accord. There are no options anymore because you voluntarily gave up your rights. Oh, can I tell you how that's how it is with Jesus too? When you sign up and give your life over to Christ, you say, I surrender to follow you.
Yes.
That song says, I surrender all. Why? Mm-hmm. I agree that you are Lord and master over my life. I agree that I trust you know the plans because you told me what? Back in Jeremiah, I know the thoughts and the plans I have, and they're the problem. So I voluntarily, Lord, want your plans.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, there's a training period. When you come into, and this is where it starts to separate. In man's army, you come in, you a private. You don't gain any advancement in rank until you show some signs. You got to earn your stripes. You got to prove that you can handle yourself. You got to prove that you can follow the rules. You got to prove that, guess what? I'll get up not only at 6 o'clock, I'll be up at 5:30 because I want to be ready at 6 to go to work. Not 6:10, 6:15, 6:30. No, I'm going to be up early so that I'm ready. So if there's anything I want to do on my own, I got to do it before your time say start. That's what you learn. And as you prove yourself, you get to advance up the ranks. You go from private to private first class because you learn something. Then you go from private first class to sergeant. Why? Because you learn some more things. You go, what about sergeant? Well, the reason you get to sergeant because now you show your desires to help somebody else get better. So now I'm not just worried about me. I'm worried about others. That's how they do it in the military, y'all. And when you have concern, now you can be a drill sergeant. You can be a master sergeant. You can continue up the ranks. And y'all know ranks, captains and colonels and 2 and 3 and 4-star generals, right? Based on what you do. That's all. But it's all voluntary. You surrender to their process. If you don't like their process, you don't do what they tell you to do, you have 2 options. Change your ways or get kicked out. That's man's army. That's man's army. But I didn't come to talk about man's army. I wanted to talk to you about some things you probably know about and how the world operates. But today we're going to talk about the Lord's army. And the Lord's army only is good, only the same, and that is voluntary.
Yes.
So when you join the Lord's army and you surrender, and you surrender and say, yes, Lord, amen. I pray the prayer of faith and I know that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved by your grace. And I know that you went to Calvary, Lord God. You came down here, you did miraculously, but you got on that cross, Lord God. You died for me, Lord God. You got up with all power. And now, Father God, you're knocking on the door of my heart saying, if I surrender to you, if I accept you, God willing, you give me all the keys to the kingdom. You give me everything, that faith, that adoption, that wisdom, that grace, and that glory. So, yes, Lord, right now, today, I accept you as my Savior, and I can shout hallelujah. Let's have a praise party, because now I got everything.
Thank you, Lord.
And then God begins to give you the instructions. I need to share here before I give you my first point. Paul had been given instructions. Paul had been doing the things Paul needed to do. He was not a real sightly man, y'all. Paul was a little raggedy old looking guy, a little squirrely looking guy. But Paul said, hey, I'm really sort of quiet. I like my knowledge and I'll get it, but I really don't like this. And so, I need to make something clear to you though. You think I write great letters because of my knowledge and they challenge you. But you're making some assumptions that when I get there, I'm not going to be as forceful as I need to be. But I want you to make it clear. When I get there, I'm coming for my king. I'm coming for my master to serve Jesus. And when I get there, I will be all that I need to be to make sure that you hear the word of God. Oh, Paul said, wait a minute. Don't think I'm this timid guy and I ain't coming with authority. I will do all that I need to do to gain those for Christ. That's what he says. So that's what he says. So instructions for our warfare. Paul's going to tell us. I talked to you already about that from last week. Paul said the first thing is you got to know the right battlefield. Paul said you need to know the right battlefield. And it's in the first three verses. Paul said, look, there's two battlefields going on here. And in verses 1-3, he said, now I, Paul, appeal to you with gentleness and kindness of Christ. See, Paul understands that there's some things that get misinterpreted. He goes on to say, wait a minute, though I realize you think I am timid in person and only bold when I write to you. See, you're thinking that when I write a letter, I can be all that in a bag of chips. So you know how people are. When you write a letter, wait a minute, Sister Roger, just bear with me. Y'all ain't seen that. Now y'all see sweet first lady and all that, but let her write a letter to you, okay? Let her write a letter to you. Okay, that got to get a point across. She gonna get that point across. And if you don't like it, shame on you. It's gonna be truth based on the word of God. But when she put pen to paper, she's like, Paul said, I write to you. And I'm bold when I write, because this thing I know. I understand it, y'all. I trust her writing. That's why I use her writing to supplement what God gives me, because guess what? That's a gift that God gave her. It can be bold. Y'all know how it is. You get a directive at work. You get a directive from somebody. It's bold. It says a lot of things. And you don't even know who behind it. Could be the most timid individual. And that happens because they're using the knowledge that God has gave them. But he said, but wait a minute. He said, look at this. Look at verse 2. Well, he said, I am begging you now, so that when I come, I won't have to be bold with you. What? Those who want we act what from human motive. He said, look, I'm bold in writing, but this is the advance warning.
My God.
Do you not know, my beloveds, my friends and my sisters, my brothers and sisters, and all those who might not know Christ yet? God gives us a warning in his word of what's to come. And what's to come is a whole lot. There's a blessing and there's a curse, okay? What's to come has two forks in the road, has a fork in the road. One fork leads to heaven with Jesus when we accept him. The other fork leads to a place that you really don't want to be.
Mercy.
Okay, we don't like to talk about this place called hell, but it's real, y'all. And if you don't accept the voluntary invitation from Christ, there is that other place. That's just what the word said. That's an advanced warning. But when Jesus came down here, Jesus came in humbleness and humility to try and draw you with his love. But he never said there would not be consequences if you disobey. He never said that if you reject him, you still get all the love. Because if you reject the love, there's some torment and things that are going to be on the other side. But Paul said the same thing. He said, look, I don't want to have to be this other person. So I'm not acting off of selfish motives. Selfish motives away, but I'm acting off what? The love of Christ. Say, we are human. We are human. So I can get there. I can have my own desire. Say, but we don't wage war as humans do. Paul said the battlefield that I'm coming to fight, it ain't the physical worldly battle. The battlefield I'm coming to fight, I come to fight a spiritual battle. I'm fighting for your soul. I'm not fighting for your body. Uh-oh, somebody didn't get that. He said, I come to fight for your soul. I'm not fighting for your body. So I can't do nothing with your body. Your body follows the desires of the world because it was born into sin. But until you're born again and the spirit's on in you, that will transform your body into serving a spiritual living God in your soul.
Thank you, Lord.
So my battlefield is not like the world's army. I don't need to beat you. I don't need to hit you. I don't need to chastise you. I come to love you and to draw you to the truth. He says, so that's the first thing. We got to know our battlefield. We need to stop fighting like the world fights, y'all. We need to stop hating when they hate us. We need to not give up on anybody because they've given up on themselves. We need to not do it because the law says, well, you shouldn't talk about God in the workplace, or you shouldn't talk about God in the school. The world said, Jesus said what? Go into all the world. He didn't take a few places out. And don't we trust because who God is and the thing that we know through the Spirit gives us the opportunity to share those things, even in the schoolhouse, even in the government business. Them you not know now, they say, oh, guess what? We're not supposed to talk about God in government places. They got a website talking about what? We're going to evangelize the White House on down. And they talking about God. Why? Because that's what God said. Well, you don't want to approach anybody and talk about religion. Two things you never talk about, politics and religion. Now, I don't know that you recognize that's a straight out lie from the enemy. It's a straight out lie. I don't worry about the politics, but when they tell you you don't supposed to talk to anybody about God, that's a direct violation of the word of God.
Right.
And how many of us go, well, I'll leave politics alone. Okay, good. I'm going to leave religion alone. You don't talk about people in their faith because you don't know what you're going to get. Wrong answer. We have to talk about our faith. Now, if you want to talk about religious processes and not Jesus and the word of God, hey, I'll leave that alone in a heartbeat. But when you want to talk about, is there anybody here who loves my Jesus?
All right.
Is there anybody here who loves the Lord? I just want to know, are you ready to be on the right battlefield today? Are you ready to continue in this battle? I know you came in as a private, but I got to tell you something. And here's the good news of all of it. You came in as a private, but he gave you all the weapons all the way up to the 4-star general. Oh, my and God. You ain't done nothing yet. In that movie, what, remember the Titans? They won a few games, and I forget, Blue said, y'all ain't nothing, y'all. We ain't done nothing, y'all. He went on to say, wait a minute, we won a few games, we think somebody. You and the family, yes, you are somebody. That's what's different. You are somebody. But guess what? You got so many things to do. You ain't got the championship yet, because guess what? We don't get the crown until what? We get to heaven, but we're on our way, and guess what? Nobody can defeat us.
Thank you, Lord.
Why? Because Jesus has never lost a battle. What? We're walking in victory. That's the awesome news of joining the King's army.
Thank you, Lord.
So then what does he say? Well, this is how we got to fight the right battle. Well, guess what? Paul goes on to tell them how to do that here. Verses 4-6, he said, look, here's how we do it. We use what? God's mighty weapons.
Yes.
Not worldly weapons. I don't need no rifle. I don't need no bullets. I don't need my tongue to put ridicule people. I don't have to make sure that I'm viewed as more than somebody else so that they would listen to me. No, I just got to speak the truth in love, speak the truth of the word. He said, I don't need those worldly weapons to knock down. He said, but what I do is I use weapons, what, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments.
Yes.
This mind. He said in one other place, Paul said, what? We wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but what? Spiritual wickedness and what? High places. Those high places start in our mind. We wrestle against this mind thing. Now, we've been told all our life, you put your mind to it, you can do it. That's the way we raised. That's what we were taught. Don't ever let anybody sell you short. But how many of us haven't done some things that God told us to do because we don't think we can get there? I can't talk to that person. I can't do that. I'll never have this type of job. I'll never have that kind of thing. My mind can't comprehend. And then we begin to battle in our mind and it stops us in our tracks. Paul said, I'm not wrestling against worldly things. I come down here to knock down the strongholds of human, and he calls it out, human reasoning and destroy false arguments. In this time, there were false teachers. In our time, there are false teachers.
Yes, say on preacher.
They're trying to teach you a theology, name it and claim it. No, there's a whole theology. Yes, we can name things. We can claim what God has for us, but there's a responsibility to go the whole way. You can't do what you used to do and claim the victory. You can't keep running out there doubting. You can't keep running out there lying. You can't keep running out cheating. You can't keep doing the things you want to do and denying God and expect the victory. That ain't the way it works. But when you join the army and you truly surrender and give up the things of your physical life that you've learned to follow the spiritual life that God had, now you're naming some things. Yes, I have peace. Yes, I have joy. Yes, I'm the head and not the tail. Yes, yes. My Father is the Alpha and the Omega. I will never want. And he, guess what? He ain't never lost a battle.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, I can speak love into your life. Oh, matter of fact, I can show love into your life. I will do the things I never thought I would do. Why? Because I'm fighting a spiritual battle. I'm breaking down strongholds. Somebody's been living with a stronghold all your life. Somebody wounded you when you were younger. Somebody hurt you. And guess what? Until the word of God came along and somebody said, I'm in this for the long haul, I'm going to walk with you and I'm going to pray with you and I'm going to talk with you. We're not going to reason about the things that happened. We're going to declare the victory of the word. And because we declare the victory of the word, those strongholds that had you bound, those strongholds that had chains, these chains had to fall. And now you can look at things new. Now you can love somebody else, even though they didn't love you. Now you can walk in. You can talk, you can sing God's praise. Now you can say, hey, Jesus loved you. Somebody said, how do you know Jesus loved? I remember, hey, let me tell you something. Yes, I went through a whole bunch of things, but my God loved me so much that guess what? Now I got peace that flows like a river. Now I got peace that gives me joy. Now I got peace that gives me power. Now I got peace that I can speak to you and I can love you in spite of you.
Thank you, Lord.
Strongholds, these false arguments. He said, well, we're destroying. He said, Paul said, I come to destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God.
Yes.
So if your proud obstacle is that you think you are that in a bag of chips, I come to knock it down. If your proud obstacle is that your position has made you somebody and the money you made has made you somebody and the skill he gave you to do whatever it is you do has made you somebody, Paul said, hey, better be all right, beware. I come to knock down that stronghold. Because except you know that God gave it to you, and it's because of God's grace, you're walking in the wrong race. You're fighting like the world fight, but guess what? That ain't the victory. We need to fight like he fights, the spiritual fight, and you get the victory.
Yes.
When you can deny yourself and know that you know that you know that you know that you know that God is the one who blesses you, then you got to fight that victory. Knock down those strongholds. Knock down fear. Knock down a doubt, not down a lack of knowledge. And the only reason we have a lack of knowledge because we haven't studied, because God has made all things known. No. Do we not know, my brothers and my sisters, there is nothing, zero, nada, nothing that God doesn't know about.
That's right.
Yeah. When they tell you, well, these are new things and God didn't even know, that's a lie. When they tell you, I'm the only one who knows, and I'm teaching this thing this way because others don't have an understanding, that's a lie. Because God has made all things known. And he elevates us in the exposure to the different things out there. And I don't care if it's new to you, but guess what? It's going to line up with the word.
Say on, preacher.
It's going to line up with the word. There are folks we've been teaching and teaching at levels that we ain't talking about because guess what? We ain't ready yet. You ain't ready to accept the fact that you have control of this world. You ain't ready to accept the fact that guess what? When we walk into the government offices, we walk in as victors and not as what? Those who defeat. You ain't ready. In fact, some of us ain't ready. I say some of us, I'm talking about all of us. We ain't ready, in fact, that it ain't Republican or Democrat that rule this world.
My God.
God is above all of that. So guess what? We can't talk like that. It don't make sense. And until you surrender to it, you can't talk about it. Because they're going to come back at you and you got to be ready to stand like Paul said. Paul said, don't take me lightly now. I write a certain way, but don't think when I come back, I ain't going to act like I write.
My God.
Paul said, I'm not all willy-nilly now. I hope I can come back because you've already made the transformation that we could talk about the glory and good thing. But if you challenge me now, I will be bold when I get back.
Yes.
That's what he says. And then he goes on and says, we destroy every obstacle that keeps everybody from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to do what? Obey Christ.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Let me put this in perspective. And this is not, no, I ain't gonna say that. It's not, that's not the truth. When we create habits that hinder us from fulfilling the word of God in the order God does it, that's a stronghold. Okay, I'm gonna identify some strongholds. And as I identify these strongholds, it only applies to you if it's got a stronghold on you. Okay, I ain't got nobody in mind. God said there are strongholds that continually challenge us. Main Street, 12398 Main Street, ain't none of y'all live there but me. There's a stronghold of overeating. That's my stronghold. That's not y'all's stronghold, that's my stronghold. And if it is yours, I don't know about that. That's my stronghold. Because all we were there, we were overfed. That's how we found our comfort. When things got rough, eat a piece of cake. If things got rough, there's an extra piece of chicken when we could afford it. That wasn't that often, but that's okay. But my dad's stronghold was, no matter what, I work every day, I'm gonna have my sweets. And he did. For him, it wasn't a stronghold that caused him physical issues. For some of the rest of us, it was. Okay, timeliness, that's your stronghold, possibly. You love the Lord, you follow God, but you ain't never on time. That's a stronghold. That ain't of God. Paul said, I've come to pull down that stronghold. Pride, that's a stronghold. I know enough. I know more than the next. I know how to get this done, but you ain't listening to God. That's a stronghold. God's got to pull it up. Uh-oh, here's another stronghold. I know I'm supposed to, but I can't. I really can't. I can't talk to nobody like that. I can't walk up to a stranger. I just can't do that. Doubt. That's a stronghold. And what happens is all of these strongholds start in your mind.
Yes.
Paul said, I come to break them down. I want to give you spiritual release. I want to give you spirit. Oh, I've been hurt. That's a stronghold when you don't have deliverance from, because God has provided us deliverance. And the Bible's full of, let me bless all of us. You are never by yourself in your stronghold.
That's right.
The word has shown us that we've all have had strongholds. You know one of my favorites, don't you? Elijah. How is it that Elijah, who just defeated the 450 prophets of Baal, laughed at him, talked about him, ridiculed him, told him, and God delivered him, that in the next breath wanted to die?
My God.
Because Jezebel was coming after him. That don't make logical sense to me. And I used to say, no, I would never do that. And then one day God said, but you do. Look a little different, feel a little different, but it's still a stronghold.
My God.
You say, so you got to do what Elijah did and surrender to me. And as I spoke with Elijah, Elijah got back up out of that cave and went back to work.
My God.
Said, I had to tear down that stronghold for Elijah. I had to tear down the stronghold for David. David was a mighty warrior, but David saw a pretty woman. He said, I'm the king. I got to have her. What started as a vision of a sight ended up in death, murder, and repentance. It ended up of the victory, total victory he should have had, him not being able to fulfill. Strongholds. God said, what? I love you. God said, let this spirit be in you that was what? Also in me. Let this mind be in you, which was also what? In Christ, this is what Paul said, which was also in Christ Jesus. Christ said, a greater commandment I give you, that ye love one another what? As I have loved you. Uh-oh, stronghold. How can I love them when they don't love me? How can I love somebody who's seeking to do me harm? Christ said, you in the army. I've anointed you to do all things. Did not I love them when they were seeking to kill me? Did not I put an ear back on when Peter cut an ear off? Because I say, that ain't the way I do this.
My God.
Then not why somebody who all they like never worshiped me or bowed down to me, yet while they were on the cross before they gave up their breath, I said, this day you should be with me in prayer. I come to seek and to save all that are lost.
Yes.
So Paul said, he said, look, I come to break down the strongholds, to recapture the rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. And then he says something bold that we don't even like to talk about. Commentators and faith, they leave out verse 6 so often. He said, look, and after you have become fully obedient, after you become fully obedient, after you have done the things that God called you to do, say, we will punish everyone who remains disobedient. He ain't talking about in his lifetime. He talked about when we get to heaven with Christ, those who did not accept Christ as their Savior, they are going to be punished. But he used the language, we will. Because we're part of the household of Christ, because we'll be in heaven, judgment will be passed on. And guess what? We part of that judgment because we're here. We don't give the judgment. We can't do it now, but Christ will fulfill his word that anyone who denies him and does not accept him, they go into a place called hell and they will be in torment. They ain't going to be dead, y'all. They're going to be in torment.
Mercy, Lord.
While we reign with the Lord, we worship him in peace and in joy. That's just the word. Now, our love and his love for us says that my desire and will is that all would be. There are some who need to hear the alternative. As Jews say, they got to be snatched out of the fire. Yeah. And unless they know that fire's the future, they can't be snatched out. Every now and then, some of us, not you, but me, every now and then I needed to hear, look, if you do this thing, this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they used to say it would scare you straight.
My God.
But it ain't that it scares you straight. What it is that the love of somebody who would do this for you, that they love you so much, will draw you to them. Mm-hmm. Versus the alternative. So it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. Somebody go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3, 2 chapter, verses 3 through 7. It tells us again what this love and this constraint is, how we're what? We're in this battle, but we got to fight the right battle. Some of these battles we're fighting, they're not the right battle. We're fighting on a worldly basis, and that's not how we fight. We just say, this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Look at what he says here. Timothy said it. He said, look, Timothy, Paul was writing to Timothy, giving him some instructions. He said, look, verse 3, he says, wait a minute. So what? Thou therefore endure hardness. Hardness. Said what? Hardness as what? A good soldier of Jesus Christ? No man that worth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. If you're going to be in battle, that's why when you join the worldly army, you can't be entangled in the things of the world that you used to do. You got to leave home. You got to let that stuff go. You can't be, you in the army now. When I say pick up and go, you pick up and go. When I say no communication, no communication. I got a young man that loves to stay in touch, but when he's on active duty, when his ship ships out and he goes somewhere, all communication is cut off. No text, no Facebook, nobody can know where you are. Don't you know every now and then, when we should be in solitude with the Lord, nobody needs to be able to reach you.
My God.
Wait a minute, Pastor. What are you talking about? Yes, sometimes Facebook needs to be turned off.
Say it.
Ooh, wait a minute, Pastor. What are you talking about? Sometimes text messaging needs to be turned off. Wait a minute, Pastor, but I got it on here. Sometimes all you need to hear is a word from the Lord. There needs to be this solitude that God can speak with you. He can understand. He said, no man that worth entangling himself with the affairs of his life, that he may what please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. So there's a way that this thing has to happen, and it has to be God first, then you. There's a way that these things grow. It has to be God first, then you. There's a way that you prosper, God first, then you. And if God is first, you have no problem. But when we put other things before God, now we're out of line.
All right. Say on, preacher.
And we're not even doing what we volunteered to do. We voluntarily said, yes, Lord, I'll follow you. And because we did, God said, I will give you all the keys to the kingdom, all the benefits to my kingdom, all the blessings of my kingdom, all the power. Power to say, get up off your bed and walk. Power to say what? When you pray the prayer of faith, they will be healed. Power to say what? You this too shall pass. In the midst of the storm, you can sit in the eye of the storm and be at peace. Power to what? Be a witness to somebody. Say, how did you do it? It was my Jesus. How did you do it? He taught me to pray. How did you do it? He taught me to read his word. How did you do it? He taught me to speak to the winds and the waves. How did you do it? He taught me not to doubt. How did you do it? He taught me not to listen to you when you're not talking about Christ. Sometimes we got to be direct like that. Some people come at us and put things in our mind. We got to not talk to them because you know what they're going to do. I got a couple of friends that, man, if things go wrong, well, you know, man, that I ain't got time for that. Call me on a day when you want to talk about, let's pray. Call me on a day when you can encourage me to hold on. Call me on a day when you say, look, I know the Lord got you, and guess what? It's okay. You know why? Because in my life, when they cut half my face off and they cut my nose off and they found the cancer and they went in to get it, guess what? Every day of my life since that point, I've been sending out messages of encouragement. I got a friend for the last 10 years, he sends out messages of encouragement every single day. He spends his money to get the things that he needs to get so that he can send the message and they're right on time. He said, because nobody knows like I know what it's like for them to doubt you. Nobody knows what it's like when they cut my face off and went, uh-oh, I can't get it that way. They put it back on. Then he said, we got to cut your nose off and go in behind the nose. Say, I got my face cut off, my nose cut off, but yet here I am.
My God.
So I don't care what the world says. He said, well, we got to fight this battle. And this is how we fight. We pray.
Yes.
Here's how we fight. We share our testimonies. Here's how we fight. We break down strongholds. So today, my prayer for each of you, my brothers and sisters, is to break the strongholds in your life. To let Christ, you can't do it by yourself. I don't want you to even try that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to do it by yourself. But what I want you to do is surrender it to Christ. Lord, I need your help. And then tell him what it is. You know that song we used to sing, call him up and tell him what you want? The problem is what we wanted was personal things that were material things.
All right.
But if you want to be delivered from the strongholds, tell him. I wish I had time, but I don't. I'm running a little over. But if I was asked for a couple of testimonies about how God delivered you from your strongholds, will we start shouting up in here?
My God.
Yeah. Do I hear any shouts yet? Can I hear any shouts? Somebody took you from your pain. Somebody got delivered from their suffering. Somebody got delivered from their financial burdens. Somebody got delivered from relationship burdens. Somebody got delivered from doubt. Somebody got delivered from fear. Oh, so I can go on and on. And somebody. I'm going to show you this. And how God works through our nature that he's talking to us. God gave us all a purpose. We know that caterpillars are the precursors to the butterfly, right? Butterflies come from caterpillars, but they each have their purpose. And I'm going to give you a spiritual analogy here. Just wait on it. Caterpillars' purpose are to do one thing. They're to eat so that they can produce eggs that can produce more caterpillars. That's it. They face all kind of danger. You know, they're slow. They don't move very fast, but God has given them a unique ability to protect them. Caterpillars can take on the color of whatever is surrounding them. So if they're on a green leaf, they can turn green and you won't even know they're there. When they lay their eggs, they're green and white, just like whatever they lay on. They can be in the dirt, they're brown. Somebody fish, so you understand what I'm talking about. They take on the color, but their sole purpose is to eat, which destroys some vegetation, but to lay eggs to be what? More caterpillars that will eventually transform into butterflies. The caterpillar is at more risk than the butterfly. Why? It's doing the dirty work. They can't run from the birds. They can't run from the squirrel. They can't run from the spiders. They can't run from any of that. But they never give up. They keep going. Now, after the transformation, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit. After the transformation, the butterfly's job is to give grace. The butterfly's job is to spread joy. The butterfly's job is to praise God. How do I say that? They're pollinators. When they go, the pollen that they spread from plant to plant brings joy in the flowers that we get. They're still at risk. Their frogs still want to eat them. The spiders still want to eat them. But guess what? God has given them an ability from the advancement that the caterpillar didn't have. A butterfly can fly away. Guess what? When it fly away, the frog can't touch it. When it fly away, the spider can't touch it. There's some birds out there, but caterpillars have a way of moving quicker than the birds can move. So when the bird come at it, it can shift direction and shift again. The bird got to fly by. And while it fly by, the caterpillar goes and hide in the vegetation. But when it's flapping its wings, it's not complaining. When the butterfly is flying, it's shedding some joy. It's giving a praise. Thank you, Lord, that the caterpillar didn't give up. Thank you, Lord, that it's still doing its job. Thank you, Lord, I've been transformed by your blood. Monarch butterflies have blood within their system that the caterpillar did not have. When they go into the cocoon, a bloodstream forms. And the monarch butterfly has blood. So thank you for the blood. Now, what has that got to do with us?
My God.
That's to do that. Before we knew Christ, we had to first say, I'm willing to be the caterpillar. So now I'm willing to be in the army. I'm willing to do my job. My job is not to say, I got all power that I can go and heal. My first job is to say, Lord, whatever you tell me, I surrender you. So if I need to eat on the word of God, I'm going to eat on the word of God. So what? I can lay some eggs somewhere by planting a seed on somebody. Some are going to be planters, y'all. We are all planters. But then, Lord God, thank you that after you have transformed me because I've accepted you. Now you have elevated me by the spirit of faith into the butterfly. So everywhere I go, Lord God, I'm spreading praise, Lord God. Everywhere I go, Lord God, I'm giving glory to you. Every time they see me, Lord, the light shines on me. They don't see this. They see you.
Yes.
That's our instruction for warfare. Stop letting the enemy stop you from staying at the caterpillar. You are not a caterpillar any longer. God has transformed you through his blood. The blood, y'all, that's the transformation. We've been in the cocoon. Now in faith, we have accepted him. Now we can fly.
Yes, God.
And as we fly, joy goes. As we fly, hope goes. As we fly, strength goes. As we fly, salvation goes. As we fly, as we fly, as we fly, our praise goes. Is there anybody here that loves my Jesus? Is there anybody here that loves the Lord? Is there anybody here? You see yourself as the butterfly and not the caterpillar. Is there anybody here that know God has given you all things? Is there anybody here?
My God, my God.
That's willing to be as Paul said. Paul said, I write boldly, but don't think I'm weak. Yeah, I don't know everything I need to know, but don't think I won't fight for my Savior. Yeah, I ain't got fancy words, but don't think I won't pull up my Bible and say, the Lord is my light. Don't think I won't pull up my Bible and say, the Lord died for me. Don't think I won't pull up my Bible and say, I am the head and not the tail. Don't think I won't pull up my Bible and say, he's coming back for me. And when he comes back for me and receive me into himself, don't think I won't go read my Bible and tell you that the streets are paved. Don't think I won't read my Bible and tell you that when I get there, there'll be no more tears. Don't think that I won't read my Bible and say, what? He guaranteed what that I will be. So guess what? Don't think I won't tell you if I'm not here when he comes back and I've gone on to my earthly tabernacle and I'm down in the ground and my spirit is back. Don't think I won't tell you that he said, well, the dead in Christ shall be first. So don't think that if I happen to leave you before he gets back, I'm not worried, because guess what? I will tell you that I'm in the front of the line.
My God.
That brings me joy, y'all. My mom and daddy in the front of the line.
Yeah.
My cousins that know the Lord, they in the front of the line. That stranger that I talked to that said, yes, Lord, and whatever time they go, they in the front of the line. My friend's husband that just went on to glory a couple days ago, they in the front of the line. So I'm not worried about COVID. I'm not going to miss them, because guess what? If they die in Christ, they in the front of the line.
My God.
And before we start to let this mind thing get to us, well, you know, only so many people can get in. No, my brother and sister, you don't know heaven. The gates are so big and wide, everybody can go in together. You ain't got to stand in line and check your ticket one at a time. No, that ain't how it works. You ain't going to be wrapped around no stadium. When Jesus descends with the shout and he calls with the trumpet and the trumpet sound, the dead in Christ shall go first. And they all can enter into glory to be with the Lord. We ain't got to worry. We can't see it. We can't even comprehend. We just need to know that we know that we know that it is. So today, on this day, don't be afraid. Don't doubt. Don't fear. Our instructions for our warfare. We got to tell somebody.
Yes.
We got to tell them, well, you might think I'm a weakling. You might think I can't be bold. But in the name of Jesus, I got all that I need. So whether you write or whether you talk, it's all about our Lord Jesus Christ.